is the Energy Justice Director at the Center for Biological Diversity, will link to their new report, Data Crunch, how the AI boom threatens to entrench fossil fuels and compromise climate goals. Democracy Now! Is produced with Mike Burke, Renee Feltz, Dina Guzder, Messiah Rhodes. I want to thank Nermeen Sheikh, Maria Terracena, Dennis Moynihan, Sam Alkoff, Tarina Nadura, who are a Belim team on the ground, and also Tamari Astugio, John Hamilton, Rabbi Karen, Hani Masood, Safwat Nizal. Our executive director is Julie Crosby. Thank you also to Becca Staley and to our whole team on the ground in New York, John Randolph and Paul Powell and Miguel Nogueira. I'm Amy Goodman from Belém, Brazil. Thank you for
It's Harper, host of Phase Radio, airing on CFRC 101.9 FM every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m., where we'll lean into all our different phases. Happy, sad, anxious, angsty, angry, and excited. Tune in each week as we revisit past mistakes, explore dreamy adventures, and embrace current moods with a variety of indie rock tunes.
You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Queen's University in Kingston, Ontario since 1922. Find us on Instagram at CFRC Music. Coming up in this special community takeover of our airwaves, we're talking and spinning tunes with Julia of Queen's Cancer Kids First. Cancer Kids First, CKF, is the world's largest youth-led pediatric cancer nonprofit. Queen's Cancer Kids First is dedicated to improving the quality of life of children with cancer and their families. They provide toys, books, and clothing to bring comfort, reduce stress, and support healing through play. Their QCare Kids database enhances health literacy by translating pediatric cancer information into accessible, family-friendly resources. With a strong focus on global oncology and health equity, they raise awareness about childhood cancer disparities in sub-Saharan Africa and support progress towards the WHO's Global Initiative for Childhood Cancer, aiming for a 60% global survival rate. Through research, fundraising, campus campaigns, and partnership with organizations such as the Uganda Child Cancer Foundation and Blessed Child Foundation, they strive to promote compassionate and equitable cancer care globally. Queen's Cancer Kids First is currently running a toy book and clothing holiday drive for childhood cancer patients at a public hospital in Uganda. The drive runs every Friday for the rest of November, with collection events scheduled for Friday, November 21st from 3 p.m. till 6 p.m., a bonus event on Wednesday, November 26th, and Friday, November 28th. Today in the studio, I have Julia from Queen's Cancer Kids First. So welcome to the studio. Well, I should say welcome back because you've been here before wearing a different hat, but we're delighted to have you back and to have some more great music that you've recommended. Now, Julia, you are one of the original founders, I believe, of this group on campus. Do you want to tell people what your role is?
Absolutely. Hi, everyone. My name is Julia. I'm in my fourth year of health sciences, and I am one of the original founders and also the current co-president of Queen's Cancer Kids First. At the club, I mainly lead socials and marketing, and I also lead the research and database portfolio. I do this alongside my good friend Dream Twit Barnes, who's a second year medical student at Queen's.
What is Queen's Cancer Kids First? How did it get started, and what do you do?
So Queen's Cancer Kids First is a local chapter of a global nonprofit called Cancer Kids First that aims to improve the quality of life of children with cancer around the world. So we started Queen's Cancer Kids First as a chapter at Queen's, so it's an institutional chapter. And we aim to advance quality of life through activities, through events and things like that, like the one that we're hosting currently, which is our holiday toy and book drive for pediatric cancer patients in Uganda.
And it's a young group. Like, you started in 2023, but it's expanded quite a bit, it looks like, from your start of four people, right?
Absolutely, yeah. So me and three other amazing previously health science students. We have Dream Twit Barnes, who's currently a second year medical student, Ruki Inikori, who's a first-year medical student now, and Aura Maxwell, who's also a first-year medical student. We started this club when we were all in our second year of health sciences, and we just aimed to, or I guess we were hoping to increase awareness about childhood cancer, as it has affected all of us in very unique ways, and we're all personally connected to the cause in a variety of ways. And we started out as just like a normal club. We got ratified. We had a team of, I would say, like maybe 10 people, including us, so like six, in our first year. And we were able to raise, I think, about $400 in our first year through events and fundraising and things like that, which helped get our club started. And then we built slowly onwards in terms of fundraising, but also in terms of our research, which I feel like is a really interesting aspect of our club that is a bit different from other cancer clubs at Queen's.
So obviously we're going to be talking later about the toy, book, and clothing drive that you have, but you're a very active club year round. What kind of resources or what kind of activities are you offering to Queen's and the greater Kingston community?
Yeah, that's a great question. So right now, something that we have ongoing is our research database. So this is a blog that we have on Medium. So you can find it if you search Queen's Cancer Kids First blog. It's called the QCare Kids blog. And our goal with this blog is to make cancer information more accessible. I worked in cancer research, clinical research for a couple of years, and I was on a study that was investigating the impact of language barriers on cancer treatment and cancer care. So I talked to a lot of families who were immigrants and who didn't speak English as a first language, and I heard a lot of stories about how they struggled to communicate their needs and understand what was going on their child's treatment journey because of not having translators available and things like that, as well as like low health literacy, which I think is an issue regardless of whether you speak English as a first language or not. So our goal with this blog is to make information that parents and families are searching for more accessible and easier to understand. So we have a team of 15 amazing research team members, which are all students at Queen's in programs like life sciences, health sciences, bio, biochem, amazing, very intelligent and competent students who are writing these articles or researching using peer-reviewed sources, and they're rewriting them in ways that are understandable. So we talk about things like how to get psychosocial support, how to support your child through symptoms like hair loss, self-esteem changes, how to deal with symptoms like nausea, loss of appetite, weight loss, financial support for cancer as well. We talk about a lot of subjects that you may be searching for or someone you know. So if you would like more accessible information, please check out our database. We publish every month, so we have 38 articles out so far. We started it this year, so it's growing, and we're expecting a lot more coming soon.
That's a great resource, because I think cancer is still a pretty terrifying diagnosis for a lot of people, and especially when it's your child that's been diagnosed, the shock that you're in, you don't even know what questions to ask.
Absolutely.
Right?
So we do also publish a lot on different diagnoses. So we explain common diagnoses like different leukemias and lymphomas, and we also explain treatments. So we have an article about chemotherapy, we have one about immunotherapy, all of the therapies. So if you'd like to read more about that, that's available.
And I mean, with this all being published in the last year, you also know that you're going to be getting information that is contemporary and relevant to the Canadian medical system now, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So the web address is www.medium.com/@QueensCancerKidsFirst. And you can also find it on our Instagram through our link tree.
Yendaba yami mbu, yendaba yami le, this is my story.
Yendaba
yami le, this is my story. Ngiphakamise, this is my story.
Ngiphakamise,
hold me up,
hold me.
This is my story.
Yendaba
yami le, this is my story.
Yendaba
yami le, this is my story.
Ngiphakamise,
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 this is my story.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Damini. Happy birthday to you. How old are you now?
Oh, man.
Gloria.
Gloria. Like the last time that you ever see me, hold me up.
Yeah.
Lately I've been been having a hard time, like back when my dog died. Felt my heart split apart like apartheid. I could have survived. Thug life full of carbide. Hold it down, I'm sentenced by the crown. And I never used to smile, though I never used to frown. Turn toes on the ground. But down my life came turning around. From running wild in my town to the glory. Oh, me, yeah.
This is my story. Like the last time that you ever see me, hold me. I remember when they shipped me from the gang. The jumps for the HMP and my silly had it bad. So I had to have his back. Niggas started fighting and they cut me in my hand. So I grabbed one from the back and I flung him off the landing. You know the screws get extra ruthless when you're black. Laying on my back down the blocks feeling mad. Now I'm in the lab. Trying to do the best I can. Oh, me, yeah. This is my story, yeah. Glory, yeah. Like the last time that you ever see me, hold me, yeah. I feel like you know that I've been bad since birth. I heard it from the nurse. Looking at my search and through trials that occurred. Then I started working twice as hard. Having nightmares every day I fall off. But I stick around like herpes, I ain't letting up. Bring on my knees just like bone thugs. Ooh. Oh. You ever see me, hold me, yeah. Gloria.
This is my story. How I am Milena. This is my story. How I am Milena. This is my story. How I am Milena.
Okay, all right.
This is my story.
Chamina dua I send ya kilini moyoni bado wewe wanizuzua. When are you coming home, Senje?
Tell me, are you on your way? Nife tukipenda na Kiromeo na Julia. I send her na kosa usingizi usiku kucha mina dua. I send her kilini moyoni bado we wanizuzua. When are you coming home, Senje? Tell me, are you on your way? Nife tukipenda na Kiromeo na Julia. I send her bane, Senje.
Come somebody on. Loves you.
Oh,
Senje, hello, hello, hello. Change your mind and come back home. Somebody loves you.
One of the things I read is that, so Cancer Kids First is Canadian or is it worldwide?
It's global. It's actually, it was started by an American youth. It's like the largest youth-led nonprofit.
Okay.
So it was started by a girl in the U.S., but they have chapters literally like in almost every country around the world.
And it's the largest non-medical professional-led cancer organization,
I think. I'm not sure about that, but okay. It is non-medical, yeah. Okay. So we don't really do any kind of like cancer research, like biology related.
Right.
So it is non-medical. It's mainly psychosocial support,
which is a huge part of it. So what inspired Queen's Cancer Kids First to launch this toy, book, and clothing holiday drive, and why focus specifically on childhood cancer patients in Uganda?
That's a great question. I'll talk more about my experience. So I am a Ugandan Canadian. I was born in Uganda and I came to Canada when I was 6. And throughout my university career, starting in high school, I had the opportunity to work at a cancer lab at SickKids. So I did clinical research at SickKids for about 3 years. I was in the cancer ward, like interviewing patients and talking to parents and things like that. So I got a very close look at what childhood cancer looks like in Canada and how it's treated and the sort of survival outcomes. And then in my second year of university, right after we started Queen's Cancer Kids First, it'd been running for a semester, I went back to Uganda for Christmas. And a couple of days after Christmas, I was walking the streets of Kampala, which is downtown, like the capital city. And I was seeing a lot of cases of cancer that was obviously like terminal and not diagnosed and not treated. So I remember seeing this one boy, and he had a head tumor, and his head was very, very enlarged by the tumor, like it was humongous. And he couldn't move, and he was like laying on the pavement. His mouth was open, like flies were landing on him. And he had his mother beside him, and she was just kind of like looking at me, like basically begging for me to help her. And at that point, like no amount of money that I could have provided to her would save her son. And it was such a pivotal moment for me, because after working in SickKids for so long and seeing so many children be diagnosed and survive and go on to live like whole lives and come back at 21 with children and married. And it's so sad to think that it really is the geographic lottery when it comes to survival, especially when it comes to children, because they don't live a full life. They don't ask for cancer. There's very few risk factors that really can lead to childhood cancer that it's like, oh, maybe they could have prevented it by not smoking or not doing this or not doing that. It's very, very unfortunate to have an 80% mortality rate in sub-Saharan Africa for childhood cancer. And as like a 21-year-old health sciences student, I can't cure cancer, and I'm very aware of that. But as like an aspiring physician, I'm really motivated to advocate for this patient population because of this geographic lottery and because of their poor survival rates. And I hope that with this toy drive, this is like the first step to bringing awareness to the fact that Africa is really struggling with dealing with non-communicable diseases like cancer. And we hope to bring some light to these children, especially around the holiday season, and just hopefully brighten their days and make what they have a little bit more tolerable.
I can't imagine the frustration of knowing that the medicine and technology exists, but just not where you are. And I think sometimes people can feel overwhelmed or feel like there's nothing they can do, but this is something that is a small gesture that can really turn somebody's day around.
Champion. Then no call me tell you, but then they can call me now. Now empty belly, now I make man they feel somehow. Call it my house, say I be one cash out. Say make a put it 10,000, put it 10,000. Everybody come cash out. Thank you over, put up for my house. Begin to find another. Waka waka no rest you. Waiting man go do. Money go there for madam to cook up bono. Waiting man go do. Your pikin self you guys go school. Waiting man go do. When money come he go yeah. Waiting man go do. 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 God that they savvy, no go let my blessing to pass me. And then me no go laugh me. Make the money chill and relax me. If the money day we go fight you, I go beat the life of the party. You go be lancing a magic. Call me just man, abracadabra. Waka waka no rest you. Waiting man go do. Money go there for madam to cook up bono. Waiting man go do. Your picking self you guys go school. Waiting man go do. When money come he go yeah. Waiting man go do. Waiting man go do. Waiting man go do. Waiting man go do. Waiting man go do.
So you've talked a bit about this and about the prevalency of untreated cancer in Uganda. Can you explain what children with cancer in Uganda are currently facing and why these donations really matter?
Yeah, so at Queen's Cancer Kids First, we've done a lot of research and advocacy about barriers to treatment in Uganda and Africa specifically. This April, we actually published a manuscript in Queen's Science Undergraduate Journal. It's called Barriers to Treatment Access in Uganda. So you can go ahead and take a look at that. It's publicly available if you'd like to read more. But just in general, some of the issues that they're facing patient-level barriers, institutional barriers and national barriers to treatment. The main issue that we have that's driving this high mortality rate in Uganda, it's 70% mortality, and that is contrasting with about 20%, 20 to 30% mortality in North America. So it's literally an opposite dynamic when it comes to survival versus mortality when you look at childhood cancer in Africa. But the main issue that they're facing is late diagnosis, which is leading to the high mortality rate. So when you look at Africa, specifically like Uganda, there's so many other diseases that children may have that doctors are screening for. So the primary symptoms of like childhood cancer, especially if it's not like a sarcoma where they have a tumor, is like things like nausea, headache, feeling ill, feeling weak, weight loss. So when a child of 5 years old in Uganda starts having these symptoms, the first thing that doctors think of is, oh, they have malaria, because that's usually the issue. For those who don't know, malaria is like a vector illness that's caused by mosquitoes. So tropical mosquitoes in Africa and other tropical countries, they carry this. It makes you very sick, and it's a high cause of death for children under five. So it's usually the malaria diagnosis. They go through treatment for malaria. They take all of the chloroquine pills, and after weeks and weeks of doing that, the child is still ill. So then they're like, okay, what else do they have? Maybe it's cholera. Maybe it's like the flu. Maybe it's this. Maybe it's that. The point to which they get diagnosed with cancer happens way too late. So by the time that they find out that the child has cancer, it's usually like stage 3, stage 4. And in addition to the late diagnosis, the children are also facing a lot of other social determinants of health. So these are things that are non-medical that influence your health outcomes. So poverty is a big issue. Poverty impacts access to treatment, access to transportation to go to the hospital. It impacts everything. There's also an issue of this geographic concentration of care, which basically means that majority of the healthcare services that children would need to access to get treated for cancer is in the capital city, which is called Kampala. But it's like saying in all of Ontario, you can only get care in Toronto and you live in Sudbury. What are you going to do? You have to travel. So a parent has a job. They have maybe four or five other children to take care of. And they have to somehow find the money to move from Sudbury all the way to Toronto to access care. Cancer treatment is not like an injection that you take once and you can go home. You have to be in the hospital. You have to get supportive care. You have to be there for multiple days. They have to find money for accommodation. They have to find money for food. They have to find money for clothing. They still have to pay for everything for their other children. So it's a lot of out-of-pocket costs. And the funny thing is that cancer treatment in Uganda is free. So they can access chemotherapy for free, but it's all of these out-of-pocket things that make it so hard to access. And that leads to another patient-level barrier, which is treatment abandonment. So a lot of patients, unfortunately, like they'll have their child literally get a diagnosis and they'll tell them your child has cancer, you need to get this treatment, but they can't afford to keep going back and forth. I read an article one time about, this was an adult patient with cancer in Uganda, but they were literally sleeping in the ward, like on the floor in the cancer ward because they couldn't afford a bed to stay in to get treatment. So it's all of these things that compound that lead to like, okay, even if the medication is available, like how are we gonna address the poverty that is making it difficult for them to even get to the hospital to be treated? So, you know, bringing toys, bringing books, bringing clothing, this is like a systemic issue. This is a nationwide issue that we can't address as students, but addressing something like quality of life and just making them feel a little bit better even in their situation is helpful to show that people care about them. And I will say that there are a lot of strengths when it comes to childhood cancer in Uganda. There's a lot of family strength, so it's a very collectivist culture over there. So it's not as isolated, I feel like, as Canada can be a little bit like individualistic. There's so much family support and there's so much love and camaraderie among patients in the wards and families who are going through the same thing. And there's also a lot of resilience with faith, whether it's Christianity or Islam or whatever religion, there's a lot of belief in God and belief in that God will heal me and God is doing what he needs to do. And a lot of the patients and families have this belief that, you know, whatever happens, it's God's will. And it can be very liberating to have that kind of perspective because they put it in God's hands and they go through what they need to go through. And it gives them peace of mind, which as a Christian, I believe in as well. That's what's going on.
So yeah, I mean, obviously a complex issue. And even in a place like Canada, where we also have free healthcare, I know many people who've undergone intensive treatment for cancer and have ended up with GoFundMe campaigns because it is, as you say, there's so many expenses beyond the healthcare, and that's it's time and it's money and it's time off work and childcare and all of those things. Something like a toy drive, it's a first step towards awareness and it's letting people know that someone is aware of what you're going through and someone cares and someone wants to give you some comfort.
Sitasizi, moyo wangu ni mwepesi.
If you're just tuning in to CFRC 101.9, we are talking with Julia from Queen's Cancer Kids First about their November toy book and clothing drive. This sounds like a big initiative, and you do have some partners for this program that I think give a little bit of a holistic approach to what you're trying to do here. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
I am really glad and happy to announce our partnering organization, which is the Uganda Child Cancer Foundation, or UCCF. So this is an NGO that was founded in 2006 out of Kampala, and their primary mission is to eliminate childhood cancer through support in Uganda. So they provide psychosocial support using things like play therapy, writing, and counseling. And they also provide transport to the Uganda Cancer Institute. They've helped over 1,000 children in their care, including providing transportation support to over 200 families. They've helped over 700 families receive psychosocial support, and they've distributed over 12,000 meals to caregivers and children. They work at UCI, Uganda Cancer Institute, and also Malago National Referral Hospital, which is where we'll be distributing our donations to. They're a really cool organization. And they have more of a global reach. So they work in Uganda, but they have partners with hospitals in the U.S. I believe they partner with Johns Hopkins.
Okay.
I may be wrong.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like an organization like that would have quite a network, because that's addressing things from a lot of different angles. If people are listening and they want to give, what types of items are most needed right now? And how can someone know if what they want to donate is appropriate?
That's a great question. So these are things that you can donate. So we're looking for clean and gently used new items of clothing, which is in good condition. So things like t-shirts are perfect, things like hoodies, sweatpants, sweaters, jeans, tank tops, some button-ups, some mid-length skirts, even light jackets like jean jackets and windbreakers are great. Adult size clothing is acceptable. So the patient population that we're donating to patients at Malago Referral Hospital in Kampala. So the patients are between like 1 week and 18 years old. Majority of them are 7 to 18. So adult size clothing will be acceptable. And we can also donate to parents and siblings. Everything is helpful. Other items that are really helpful are beanies and hats, like baseball caps and things like that. We're also looking for books, so fiction and nonfiction books, ideally in English, would be great. More so like small books, so not textbooks, as well as empty coloring books if you have any. Those are really great. Empty notebooks, empty sketchbooks, and things like that. We're also accepting clean and gently used backpacks and purses and string bags. And of course, for toys, anything like clean and gently used. Plushies, toy cars, dolls, fidget toys, if you have them, that would be great. And then some things that we are not taking. We're not taking any clothing that is ripped, stained, damaged, dirty, or anything like that. So the patients that we're donating to are immunocompromised. So items will be clean when they arrive, of course, like in Kampala, but we really want to make sure that the items are in good condition because that's what they deserve. We're also not accepting any socks, underwear, bras, bikinis, bodysuits, bandos, pantyhose, anything like that, We're not taking any shoes, suitcases, jewelry and makeup, skincare product. We're not taking any kind of hair accessories or any winter jackets, of course, because they don't need winter jackets. No winter clothing, like gloves and things like that. We're also not accepting like heavy textbooks. Of course, textbooks are not acceptable, or stationery, like pens and pencils, and no technology. So like no iPads, headphones and stuff, because it's difficult to distribute that equitably.
I've been saying toy drive, but it's more than that. It's toy book clothing, items of comfort, items of practicality. And if people want to double check that list, it is up on your social media well. And what is your social?
Yeah, you can find us on Instagram at Queens Cancer Kids First.
You've mentioned what type of items are welcome. Where can students and community members, you don't have to be a student, if you're listening from Kingston area and you want to get involved, you're welcome to too. But so where can students and community members drop off their donations? You mentioned it's a pop-up.
Yeah, so we do have pop-ups. We're doing different locations each time just for accessibility purposes. We do them every Friday. Last Friday, we were at Gordon Hall, which is on campus. This Friday, we are going to be on campus, but the location will be unveiled on our Instagram. It might already be out by the time you're listening, so just check out our Instagram at Queens Cancer Kids First. We're also doing a donation drive next Wednesday, November 26th, and next Friday is our last one, November 28th.
Okay, so if you missed last week, you still have three more opportunities to spend some time looking through items that you have at home, or, you know, if you're going out this weekend and you're doing some holiday shopping for other people, this could be a great opportunity for you to pick up some other items that could be really appreciated and valued. I know there are drives, and sometimes this time of year people can be torn, but you're sort of looking for the opposite in terms of clothing that most people are looking to give this time of year. It's not jackets and heavy warm things. So if you've got lightly used clean summer wear or stuff from the fall that you know is not going to fit your kid anymore, this could be a great opportunity to do something impactful with it rather than just, you know, tossing it in a recycling bin.
Absolutely.
So beyond donating items, what other ways can people support this initiative? I imagine that there's a lot of human power involved, and I imagine there's also an expense in sending things over to Uganda.
Yes. So if you'd like to get involved but you're not able to donate, we're actually selling our pins. So we have our QCKF pins, which are gold metal ribbons that you can stick on and pin to your clothing. And this is actually the international symbol for childhood cancer. So we're selling these in addition to collecting items. So they're going to be at our collection points. We're selling them for $3 for one pin and $5 for two pins. And we're also doing a raffle. So if you are able to buy two pins, you get a ticket into our raffle, and we're going to be basically giving away a mystery item that's going to be revealed at the end of November. So if you buy two pins for $5, you'll be entered into the raffle. If you also donate, you will be entered into the raffle. So five clothing items counts as one raffle ticket, as well as one book counts as one raffle ticket, and one toy is one raffle ticket. You can also opt out of the raffle if you're not interested, but I would opt in. You never know.
And if people have cash that they want to give, $3 and two for five, that's super reasonable. If people want to give more, are you able to take extra donations?
Yes, we are accepting monetary donations, and those would mainly go into shipping costs to go to Uganda.
Before yeah, with them on Jesus. Yeah, my country problem me passes us. Because now we be our own problem. Yeah, now who can reason well. Ambassador to the church, and governor to the church, and president to the church. When they say make you jump, you go jump. Some people go, some are soft. You well.
the shell. I stand the flag, you get well. Get, get, get. My people suffer, well, well. Police, they slap, yeah, well, well. Hungry, they wire them, well, well. Well, 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 yeah. Ambassador, go the trade, yeah. And governor, go the trade, yeah. And president, go the trade. When they say, make you jump, you go jump. Some people go, some are sorry. Them 30 headed, we go drink on a dog. Meanwhile, president, go the trade. And governor, go the trade.
My people self, they fear too much. We fear the thing we know. You could fear, please go slap you. You could fear, fight for your picking them. You could fear, we could fear, fear, fear. Ambassador, go the job, and governor, go the job, and president, go the job. When I say make you jump, you go jump. Some people go, some are sorry. Then get the headache, we go drink another.
Before we go, is there a final message you'd like to share with listeners who are hearing about this drive or about your club for the first time?
A final message I would have to all of the listeners today is to not hesitate to donate. If you are feeling a little bit apprehensive about coming out, maybe you're not a student and you're like, I don't know if I should come to campus to give to this drive. We're really open to contributions from everyone, even if it is just monetary or even if it is like an old storybook or anything like that. Literally anything is helpful. So if you're confused about whether an item is like quote unquote good enough for us to take, we're really happy to meet with you and consult. We're also really happy just to have a conversation. I know that our team is really passionate about this issue and about health equity. So we're happy, happy to support. If you also know someone in the Kingston area or in Ontario who is affected by childhood cancer and you would like some support, please, please, please do not hesitate to reach out to us. We talked a lot about Uganda on this episode just because this is the topic and the location of our toy drive, but we also work in Canada, of course. So if you need support, please email us. You can find us at queenscancerkidsfirst@gmail.com, or you can also DM our Instagram at queenscancerkidsfirst on Instagram, and we're happy to help in any way and any shape and capacity that we can.
kariba ku wifi chunga changa chende mu musai true story simba walai nazari wa kubuka like a bird mateka kuangula muli awali fresh white always happy never sad double set me brothers right now yeah omolino kumya mucho muchiyoko abe mitima mibi kosa mungu ndimo bila sayi yanga mungu tena tuchimanye mu rap ndimo kongo yeah pita kabaka umulemba kuno kampala kirabo tuzichoka rono byachuka kacha bana basina gano young and rich happy people
So, Julia, you've given me a great selection of music, and if listeners listened to the last takeover that you were involved with, they will know that you have great taste in music. Do you want to talk a little bit about some of the songs that you've selected today? I know specifically you wanted to talk about one by Saudi Soul.
Absolutely. So the music that you've been hearing on this episode are all by African artists. Saudi Soul is a band, I guess you could say, that's based out of East Africa. They sing in Swahili, which is the main language that you hear across Kenya, Tanzania, and also Uganda. I also had some songs by Burna Boy, which is a really big Nigerian artist, as well as Ira Star, who is Nigerian, and a song that you just heard, Midnight Drum, which is by a few Ugandan artists. The next song, which is Live and Die in Africa by Saudi Soul, I think is a really special song to me, particularly being an immigrant and being able to see the life in Africa as well as the life in Canada, and like that contrast that we're talking about when it comes to poverty and health outcomes. And it's just important to recognize that, you know, people have strength, people have resilience. It's not good to look down on people or to pity people or to see them as like less than because they're struggling with something that maybe we're not struggling with in Canada. It's important to paint pictures of strength. And I think Live and Die in Africa is a perfect picture of African strength and African resilience, where, you know, we're not doing this from a place of weakness or a place of pity, but a place of empowerment and wanting to improve life that's already really amazing. And there's already so much joy and happiness and contentment in Africa. So I think this is what this song embodies to me.
Okay. I think that's a great note for us to leave it off on. So we'll wrap up today's episode with Live and Die in Africa by Saudi Soul.
Be famous. I wanna have lots and lots of money. Soar above the clouds. I wanna be free, like Nelson Mandela. Stand tall like a pyramid. So, so courageous. No place I'd rather be.
Oh na na na, oh na na na.
There's no place I'd rather be.
Oh na na na.
Live and die in Africa. The berry, the sweeter the juice. Na sitoke nyumbani, mwacha mila mtumwa. Hey, no place I'd rather go. Ooh, no place.
check out Queens Cancer Kids First's Instagram to make sure you find out the locations for their next pop-ups. There's three more opportunities coming up this Friday, next Wednesday, and the final Friday in November. Sign up now to take over CFRC's airwaves yourself. CFRC 101.9 FM invites all Queen's University student groups and Kingston community organizations to take over our airwaves. Join us on air for an hour to talk about your student group or community organization, and also present your own playlist of fun music chosen by your team. This is a great opportunity to talk about what your group does, how others can get involved or provide support, any big events your group has coming up, and how to keep up with the latest news about your group. Apply by visiting cfrc.ca/contact and selecting Apply for a Club Community Takeover. This project is made possible through the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Radio Meters program.
African gospel with the music of Aretha Franklin, Peter Gabriel, and more. Grand on Stage presents Peace by the Grammy-winning Soweto Gospel Choir. Tuesday, November 25th at Kingston Grand Theater. Tickets for Soweto Gospel Choir and the rest of the Grand on Stage season are on sale now at kingstongrand.ca.
KPP Concerts and CFRC 101.9 FM continue to bring the heat this fall with a stacked lineup of local concerts. At the Broom Factory, you can catch country star Robin Ottolini on November 20th, Virginia DeVegas on November 21st, Queens grad Charlie Houston on November 28th, Stephen Stanley with No Electric on November 29th, Bat Sabbath on December 13th, folk icon Garnet Rogers on December 14th, and local rap hero Slaves of Spanky on December 19th. And don't forget to get your tickets now for the big show by Canadian alt faves The Strombellas playing Kingston Grand Theatre on November 23rd. For a complete list of shows and ticket information, visit kppconcerts.com. And don't forget to donate to CFRC's funding drive via cfrc.ca, where you may win $50 vouchers redeemable for KPP Concerts.
Mom and Dad don't look so hot these days again.
Hey, this is Sam from Punk is Dead Radio. Tune in every Monday night at